Welcome to the Youngest Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into our next tier of quarterbacks. This is our core quarterbacks. There's a lot of different things at play here. And I think when you look at these, so there's a couple of like, I think there's like three big decision points. Actually, they're all moving. So we'll just talk about it. So this is by definition, again, going back to the hierarchy of assets. The core quarterbacks are remaining top 10 quarterbacks, right? So any top 10 quarterbacks that don't have a hit on their resume, and top 24, excuse me, top 18 with multiple hits and years of security. So that's basically your definition. Again, what are we striving for? This is primarily a goal of not missing a quarterback, right? We kind of grade hard a quarterback. We don't want to miss at quarterback, right? That's kind of the big thing that you don't want to do, is miss at quarterback. So I am a big fan of trying to avoid the big miss, right? I don't want to, historically, quarterback has been a position where really focus on especially in this range. Focus on guys that can hit, they can really overproduce, or that have hit, right? That have production histories, profiles. And that is a profile that you can really kind of bank on in the future for dynasty purposes, right? That's kind of the goal of this, right? Is the goal of this is not to miss. If your goal is other things, you can sort of embrace different players in this, right? So this is one of those scenarios where the hierarchy of assets becomes, how do you look at this and what risks do you want to take? Last year, I thought that they did a really good job of being like, yep, this is the group. Yep, this is the group. Yep, this is the group. It kind of mirrored, I thought the market last year for quarterback very much mirrored what we sort of know, generally speaking. And as a result of that, what you got with the hierarchy of assets was largely mirroring your ADP, right? It largely mirrored your ADP, and that's for good or worse, right? That means, hey, our process is kind of accepted by the market, or we're sort of shooting in the same direction, right? We're all directionally, everything's kind of heading the same. This year, I think it's different, which I think is a couple of things. One, it's a test, right? It's a test for sort of how we do, but it's also a lot of value opportunity, right? And that's kind of the thing that I look at with these and say, all right, like I think the hierarchy of assets can really identify a kind of how not to, a lot of our rules are, hey, here's a rule, follow this rule, and it'll reduce your odds of screwing it up, right? Which is kind of the rules that I like to do, right? Like, you don't take a day two wide receiver over a day two running back, right? Unless you find some really good reason to break that rule. Like that's kind of how we do this, right? This is kind of the veteran version of those sorts of rules. So that's the way that I look at these. Now you have six different quarterbacks in this tier. It's very different. Okay. Justin Fields is technically a top 10 quarterback by keep trade cut. Again, we don't have enough startup data yet to say, but he is quarterback 8 in at keep trade cut. So that's kind of the proxy that I'm using for market right now. And he would technically be a star asset because he's a top 10 quarterback with a hit. I can't do that. I can't do that. I just, when you look at his passing profile, right? Listen, running's nice. Running's great. Running doesn't get you to the elite levels of quarterback. It keeps it so that way you can develop into a passer. Josh Allen is fantasy viable as a runner before he really was a good passer. Jalen Hurts, functional as a runner before he was a really good passer. Right? Those are stories that people supporting Fields will go and say, hey, look, like this is possible in this growth. It sure is. The question is how probable do you think that is? And I would point to, I know there was actually some discussion just this week in our in our group chat about the field's trajectory and whether or not it fit with what Hertz had done. I don't think it has, right? I don't think that you can't look at Hertz and say, hey, here's kind of the field's trajectory. Here's what Fields you can do, because Fields actually took a step back in all of his passing metrics this year. Right? That's the thing that I think is the big concern. And when you look at Fields, what you see is you see the regression, right? You see, this year, for example, as a rookie, I'll just use some proxies just to sort of give you an idea. As a passer at PFF, 60.8 grade, like acceptable. This year, 64.4. So a big step back. Big time throw rate, right? Those are your kind of your hard throws. Those are kind of your show, some of your show off throws, some of your elite plays, right? 6.1% of his throws, right? That's something you could look at and say, wow, like there's a lot there. This year, 3.8, big step back. Turnover worthy plays, how much you putting in danger? Well, if you have more big time throws, right, it's you don't want to put the ball in danger more, but I think just naturally you will. But also, like, it can make up for it, right? You don't want to be turning it over a bunch, but if you're turning it over a bunch, like you want to have the high end of the variance too. Last year, 3.7, this year, 4.4. So what do we see? He went down in sort of his elite pass production, and he went up in his turnover-worthy plays. That's not the combination you want to go. Also, one of the things that I really look at and think about a lot is like this, some of the sack stuff. Now you could say, hey, they have a bad offensive line. You could say all those things. Some of that may be true. However, he brings it upon himself, right? He's a top six guy in terms of pressures that are actually attributed to him, which is not good. He's also turns pressures into sacks at a really high rate, and he got worse at it. So last year, when he was pressured, 23.8% of the time he was sacked. This year, it's 27.1. So he's actually going in the wrong direction in a lot of key metrics. You can point to a couple of different things and say, hey, maybe it's getting better. Completion percentage is up a little bit. I mean, that's just a product of him having a lower ADOT. The same thing with his adjusted completion percentage. It's just the factor of him having a lower ADOT. So I don't love that trajectory. When you look at Jalen Hurts, what you saw is, if you were almost thinking of climbing stairs, right, to where his first season was, that 2020 season, he only had 185 dropbacks. Now he's on the bottom couple of steps. He takes, a normal step up in year two, right? A solid progression. He goes from 57.5 to 73.4 as a passer. And you say, okay, like that's a pretty good jump. This year, up to 80.6, right? He took an even bigger jump. And I think that jump's actually harder to make than really the first one is. So you look at it, he has really cut down his turnover-worthy plays. His sacks actually went up. That went in the wrong direction. So that's one of the causes for concern. But his touchdowns went way up, obviously. That's a little bit variant. His yards per attempt went way up, right? 7.2, 7.3, 8.0, right? Actually, his big time throw rate went down. His turnover-worthy plays went way down as well. So there's a lot of good in his progression, right? That's good stuff. You can look back into the Allen thing and say, hey, he kind of languished for 2 years and then took the jump. That's true, but he did some positive directional stuff. I think he's maybe like the closest you could say on some of these things about right. He's basically, you have to think Justin Fields is Josh Allen to really be confident in him as like a top 10 quarterback. Like that's kind of how you have to think. I was just having a discussion this week about, do you think if the Bills were in a situation where they had Josh Allen and they had the 101, would they have taken a quarterback? Right? I think that's a really interesting debate. I think so much of Justin Fields, should he be selected, should they take a quarterback, why should they trade him? I think so much of that is probably defined by what they know, right? They know a lot more than me. And just think about this as at work, right? Like your job, right? From the outside, if you have like any sort of front-facing job, or you work with clients, you work with customers, whatever, right? And you got a guy who's kind of languishing through 2 years, or whatever your comparable amount of time would be at work, right, through at your job. All right, is that someone we want to replace, or do we think that he has growth? And if the person's not showing up to work, if the person's, fluffing off meetings, if he's asleep at his desk, right? If he's not trying, if he's, coming in hungover, right? Like if he's doing any of those things, you're like, all right, he probably doesn't have that growth mindset. Right? He's probably not. There's we might resetting the clock probably makes a lot of sense. Maybe we move on from this person and add somebody new, right? Starting with a new random chat might be better odds than this person actually turning it around. Or you could say, hey, listen, this person's a really good worker. They came from a spot where like it's very different than what they were doing before. They had a really hard time, but they're really trying hard. They're putting in the hours, they're putting in the time. We just haven't seen the results yet. Those are two very different things. And I think the answer to whether or not Justin Fields is their quarterback, I think they probably know it or have a really good idea, right? And at least directionally, right? If he's the hard worker, if he's in there all the time, if he's doing all those things, then that's probably a good thing, right? That's means that he does have some of this growth potential. One of the concerns that I have with him is just go back to some of the priors that we know, is he fell in the draft. And we can't necessarily figure out why he fell in the draft. It didn't make a ton of sense why he fell in the draft. Statistically, he shouldn't have fallen in the draft. On tape, he probably shouldn't have fallen in the draft. But he fell in the draft. Why? Teams that had quarterbacks that selected quarterbacks passed on him. Teams that needed quarterbacks passed on him. What do they know that we don't? So I think all of that, right? If I were to sort of think about him, that all gives me sort of cause for concern about whether or not he can take the next big step. Again, that is not a metric that we have. It is not a, it's not actually information that we have knowledge to. I'm just sort of, that's kind of my theory of the case, right? If we're sort of taking all the information that we have access to, I think that might make the most sense, right? That there's something lacking there that we just don't know. That's why I think there's a chance that he goes and they take someone at one. That's why I've moved him off of being a tier above him. So a tier where he should technically be. So I have him down a tier from where he should be. I have him as a core, where he could technically qualify as a star by the fact that he's a top 10 quarterback and the fact that he has a hit. So I just think he's below those guys, and I that's crystal clear to me. Two guys that are sort of, I have Stafford and Wilson in this tier. Wilson's like really close to that top 18 line, so I. He's technically, I guess, a roundup, but he's like sort of right on that line. And I think like the difference between 17 and 19, I shouldn't be that technical. So he's in the group. He's got multiple years of security. I think he's in line for a bounce back, right? That's kind of the deal. I think a lot of the bad stuff that happened to him is variance this year. And I think that he can definitely bounce back. I think there's a lot of low hanging fruit for him to bounce back next year statistically. Stafford's the other one. He's way outside. He actually warrants a big upgrade in this. Because of how far outside he is, he's actually a move up in terms of the tiers. He would technically qualify as a contributing quarterback by his price and by in the fact that he's not in the top 18. He's got a prior hit and would be a starting quarterback this year. Like he would be a top 18. He would be a technically contributor, but I'm putting him in the core category because I think it's a more durable profile than the market thinks. So that's that. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. This one you could quibble with a bit, right? Do we think that he's got multiple years of security? Is he going to keep playing? Sort of, he's hitting a phase where he's kind of doing the Brett Favre thing. So I think if he comes back, I'd have him here. And that'd be a primarily because of his the ceiling that I think he still has some ceiling. I think, mid quarterback one range is still in his range of outcomes. And right, I think he's a pretty durable profile. So I think he looks more like the guys in this profile than he does. Again, this isn't a perfect one. Cousins fits perfectly in this one. So like Kirk Cousins, multiple years of security. He's not technically have multiple years of contract security, but he will, I'm almost certain, in the offseason because they're either going to need to restructure him or trade him. And so that will occur. And then Jared Goff. This one's fascinating because he fits here. Like he's kind of the perfect person for this tier, honestly. Multiple years of security, we know who he is, right? I think it's funny when you look at these, when you look at Goff and you say, oh, he should be their answer going forward for Detroit. They shouldn't really draft someone. Look how good they were. Like he basically has performed this year at the height of his production. this is, and we've seen him be sort of variant. We kind of know what his career trajectory is. And he was amongst the league leaders, depending on how you want to look at it, in EPA per play from an NFL perspective down the stretch at the end of the season. So you could say, hey, look, like this is like he's found the right system for him or whatnot. Or you could say, like, hey, he found kind of the right stretch of games and really put that together. Again, it's a good system for him. It's all that stuff. But is he really that type of guy? I find him to be really fascinating this offseason from a trajectory perspective, from a team building perspective, from the NFL perspective. Does a team want to sort of go in on a quarterback like Jared Goff? That's one that I think, you have some concerns about, right? So that would be the, that would be the only thing that I would say is like, are they looking for an upgrade? But I think even if he moves on someplace, he will be a starting quarterback. He's one of the 25 best quarterbacks in the league. He's probably in the top 20. The question is like, can you win a Super Bowl from an NFL perspective? Can you win a Super Bowl paying him a lot of money? That's the rub from the NFL perspective, but I don't think a lot of teams like think of it that way. They need a guy, right? I don't think they're doing the math on it. So I think the long and short of it is he's going to be a starter in the league. And I think he's, if you're sort of looking for quarterback two type production, I think he's a fine bet into the future. So that's really this tier. Tua, and I'll talk about him more in the next one, is technically in this tier by the numbers. I have him downgraded for a couple of reasons. He is. I'm sorry. He actually technically falls in the next tier in a contributor tier. You could make an argument that he belongs up here. I'm going to hold off on that for health reasons. I want to sort of see what their offseason looks like. I want to sort of see that trajectory before I start thinking about him this high. The functional, basically the consequence of basically this tier is I'm not going to be drafting Tua at his cost. I'm not going to be drafting Justin Fields at his cost, and Stafford, Wilson, Rodgers, and Goff are going to be targets at their cost, right? That's the functional takeaway from this. And so I think, what does that really tell us? Like you avoid risk where it's historically poorly priced would be my takeaway. We're shooting for, in this range, we're shooting for basically veteran performers. This isn't a place where you necessarily want to live either. Like, there is a lot of risk in this tier. Like historically, these profiles perform well, but you could say, is Stafford declining? Is Russell Wilson declining? Is Rodgers declining? Like you could say all those things. Like again, I made the argument that Jared Goff performed this year at the height of his range of outcomes, right? I still believe that, right? Like that is, does he go back to being kind of like a back end quarterback too, right? Like, there is risk in this tier, but historically these profiles have performed pretty well. I think if you sort of aim in this range, you'll outperform their market number, which is kind of what we're trying to do. But I do think you make moves out of this, right? If you can figure out a way to make moves up, you do it. And if you figure out ways to make these guys your quarterback three instead of your quarterback two, I think that's great. I've got a couple of teams where I've got two of these guys, right? Where I've got Wilson and Stafford, or I've got Rodgers and Stafford, and I have two. My goal where that is the case this offseason is to make them basically my quarterback, jointly my quarterback two, right? So if I'm not going to move on from either one of them, if I can't put them in a package deal to move up, what I'm trying to do is move above them in some other way to basically put them in a spot where, hey, these guys are my quarterback two. Because what I, combined, right? I have a quarterback two out of these two guys. That's kind of my goal. Because we have some of those spots. Like I've got a spot where I've got Stafford, Rodgers, and Watson, right? I feel like I have two answers there, right? I feel like I have two answers there. Again, I'll probably add to the position as well, just to keep trying to build premium positions. But that's kind of how I'm thinking about this tier. So if I could sort of double dip on these when I have a higher guy, I feel pretty confident. So that's kind of the angle that I have with these guys. Again, I think Tua, could arguably be in this tier. I have him a tier below, and I don't, as I stand here right now, I don't want to put him up another level because I want to see how the injuries unfold, and I want to see how he I want to see what they want to do with him in the offseason. I want to see those two things. And then maybe we could make a move up, right? And that might be reflected in his market cost as well, make it a little bit more comfortable. So that's the core tier at quarterbacks. And that'll do it for this edition. Okay, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.